my Bible, God's holy word. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I have what it says I have. And today, I submit myself to God that he may prove his word in my life today. Amen. Together, let's read verses 20 through 24. St. Luke chapter 15, verses 20 through 24. Are you ready? Let us read. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be Amen. You may be seated in his presence. And think with me shortly. Somebody prayed for me. Somebody prayed for me. Amen. Many times as we have heard this scripture, we always go from either the prodigal son who actually left or the other son who stayed. But when the Lord brought me back to this theme, he wanted me to look at the Father. He wanted me to look at the Father. Now I want you to look at somebody in church today and repeat after me. Don't worry. I will not count you out. Look at another and say, don't worry. I will not count you out. Many times, and you know, those of you that have children who have left your home, and if you remember when you left your home, you know, in the very beginning of this passage of scripture, the younger son comes to his father and he says, Daddy, look, I'm tired of being at home. It's time for me to get my inheritance because I want to see what the world is truly made of. I want to know. I'm tired of being at home. I need to spread my wings and see what I can do on my own. Have any of you made that statement? Some of y'all were so in a hurry to leave home. Then after you left home for a couple of months, you called and said, can I come back home? Because you didn't know how good you had it when you was at home. Somebody say amen here. So here it is, and I want you to understand the heart of the Father. The Father, knowing he had raised his son the best he could, he had given him the best that he had. And even though when you give your best to your children, parents understand some of your children still think you did not give them enough. Hello? When you've given all you have, they will look at somebody else and say, but you didn't give me what they got. But let me tell you something. If you think about it, the same thing they said to you, that's what you said to your parents. So what goes around comes around. Suck it up. Tell your neighbor, suck it up. See, now y'all scared, ain't you? Who's scared? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. I ain't mad at nobody. I'm in the word. I'm in the word. So here it is, this father, his heart is breaking, but he knows he's got to do what his son asked him to do. And even though his son, as we read in the scriptures earlier, the son takes his inheritance and he goes to a far country. He does all those things that he thinks he's big enough to do. And then when it comes down, he has no money. Somebody say no money. Somebody say no money. Somebody who know ain't no money, say no money.
No money.
So here it is, the son have no money. See what the dad was trying to tell him, son, a fool and his money is soon parted. Hello? You got those friends who love you when you got some money. They don't know you when you broke. Even when you spend all your money on them, they don't know you when you ain't got no money. Hallelujah. But the son didn't know that. So here it is. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the Father. Can we look at the Father today? The Father has given all, and his son has left home. And I know the first year, the father would look and say, oh, he's coming. Lord, just take care of my son. I don't know where my son is, but just take care of him. The second year, the father is looking down the road, and he doesn't see his son. So he says again, Lord, help my child, because I don't know where he is, God, but you know where he is, God. Father, help him. Then about the 10th year, somebody say 10 years. After 10 years, the father comes to the altar, and he says, Lord, been praying so long, still haven't heard. Been looking so long, and still haven't seen anything. But because you are God, I'm going to pray this one more prayer and say, Father, wherever my child is, let me hear something. Now, the father is not in the far country, but the father is at home. How many parents know that when your children leave home, your prayers can go with them? How many of you know that when your children are out of your sight, they are always in the sight of God? So here it is. The father have been praying, and praying. And the young man is out. He's kicking up his heels. He's having a good time. And suddenly, the young man finds himself at the hog pen. And he's at the hog pen, and he's hungry, and he's broke. The young man don't know that while he was gone, somebody said while he was gone, the father been praying for him. While he was out there, the father been sending up timber saying, God, help my child. You see, if this was Leon Spencer, his brother, it would be in a boxing match. So can I go boxing with y'all? How many of y'all know boxing? So you know when you're in boxing, it goes to 10, all right? So here it is. The young son is laid down in the hog pen, and it looks like he's down for the count. You can hear Satan saying, 1, 2. He's going 10. 1, 2, 3. The son is 4, 5, 6. 7. 8. And then after 10 years, the father's prayers gets down to the son. And when it looks like the son is out for the count, one of his father's prayers gets to him. And all of a sudden, the son hears the count. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3. And then he hears the prayer. Oh, Jesus. And he's coming up. And he's coming up. Why? Because he knows somebody then prayed for him. But the son doesn't come home right then. The son goes over and he wants to play some baseball. So here it is. The son, first of all, the son got good look. So that's strike one. And then the son got a nice body. That's strike two. But the son's good look don't bring him no money. His fine body don't bring him no money. But he's so shamed, he can't go home. So whatever, you know, in baseball, 3 strikes you out, amen? So he got 1 strike. He got 2 strikes. Then all of a sudden, the prayers of his father come down. When Satan want to say, strike 3, daddy's prayer said, he gets a do-over. So the son said, I get to do it over. And father said, you get to do it over. So he stands up again and go, 1 strike, can't go home. 2 strike, can't go home. Then another prayer come down, and he said, it's a do-over. See, why you sitting there looking at me? Why you looking at me? Some of you don't know what a do-over is. But when you've been down the streets of dark side, when you've been so far down that even hell look good to you, when you've been in the darkness and think you can't go home again, somebody is praying for you that God will raise you up and give you another chance. Even when we read over in Isaiah, it said when King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord. He was high and lifted up. Sometimes you can get in so much trouble, you can't even hold your head up. But when somebody is praying for you in your darkest hour, and in your darkest hour, those prayers will finally come down and touch you in your soul. And when you couldn't get up on your own, the prayers of the righteous will raise you up and allow you to breathe one more time. Sometimes when your back is up against the wall, you're between a rock and a hard place. But if St. John is praying for you, if somebody is praying for you, suddenly the doors will open up and everything will start making sense. Hallelujah. And when God was showing me this, I like every married man to say it. Every married man to say it. Every, is y'all scared of yourself? The father had to make the designation to say, I am the prayer warrior for my family. So men, I want you to say with me without a single doubt, I am the prayer warrior for my family. If y'all pray like that, ain't nothing getting answered. Men, open your mouth and repeat after me. I am the prayer warrior for my family. See, y'all ain't prayed nothing. You ain't prayed nothing. Cause the women say, now, I can't hear that. Men, make your mouth say something and say, I am the prayer warrior for my family. Wives, I want you to get to your husband right now. Wives, stand with your husband. Get off your hind end and get with your husband. Hallelujah. And look at your husband and say, baby, I am undergirding you. Undergirding you with prayer. Say, they didn't hear that. Say, baby, I am undergirding you with prayer. Now, I want all you single people to get with somebody. Get up and get with somebody right now. Y'all better get up and get with somebody right now. Get with somebody right now. Come on, come on. I say, family member, I'll pray for you as you pray for me. Ain't no prayer going on. Repeat after me. I'll pray for you as you pray for me. They don't hear that. Tell them again. I'll pray for you as you pray for me. One more time. I'll pray for you as you pray for me. Give God a hand praise. Have a seat. Hurry up. Come on. That's just the introduction. What am I saying? If we understand how strong prayer is. See, we got Brother Rico today, but Brother Rico ain't the only prayer. We got Brother Melvin. He ain't the only answer prayer. Don't you know when you was going through your hard trial and tribulation, somebody prayed for you? Don't you know when your back was up against the wall and you couldn't pray for yourself, somebody prayed for you? And don't you know, as a prayer warrior, it is your responsibility to pray for those people that God moves upon your heart. Hallelujah. This father, not knowing where his son was, all he could do was put him up before God. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but there was a time right here in this church, there was things being done that tried to put us away. But the prayers of the righteous availeth much. They had put us in the basement, but we prayed out of the basement. They had tried to put a shield over our face, but we prayed until heaven got the news. I wouldn't be where I am today unless somebody had prayed. because if you want your husband to be strong, you better pray for that man. Husband, if you want your wife to be strong, you better pray for that woman. Parents, if you want better children, you better pray for them. And church, I need right now, those of you who are praying for St. John, stand on your feet. Hallelujah. Have a seat. And I want you to know, as the under shepherd, I cannot be your God, but I am your prayer warrior. I can't be everywhere at the same time, but the prayer goes on for each of you, no matter what you do. And as this father, somebody say daddy. Daddy couldn't be everywhere at the same time, but he had a relationship with God. How many of you know, if you put the Holy Spirit on the trail of your kids, God will make them call home. If you put the Holy Spirit on your wife, your husband, or your kid, God will make them straighten up and fly right. All you got to do is make sure you know how to get a prayer through. Somebody say, help us, Lord. Jesus, I don't know where I am. Look at here. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, pray without ceasing. See, some of us, we get so cute. When things ain't nothing going, we decide if we want to pray or not. When all the sunshine, when you got money in the bank, your car running good, oh, we don't pray no more. But let me tell you, you are where you are today because somebody prayed for you. If it had not been for the Lord on our side in hell, we would have lifted up our eyes. But I'm so glad today, when I could not pray for myself, somebody prayed for me. When my back, when I had no right to look up toward heaven, somebody looked to the hill for myself. I'm glad today that somebody, can you say somebody? Can you say somebody? How many of y'all know somebody prayed? Hallelujah. Oh, we sit here today all smug. Some of you were looking when I told you to get up. Well, we got to move. But let me tell you, if you had been like that man in the hole pen, hallelujah, didn't know why he had strength to get up. But all of a sudden, he said, you know what? My father's got servants at home that's eating better than this. He didn't know why he was getting up, but that was the father's prayer that would say, get up, son. You are better than that. How many of you know somebody had to tell you, you are too good to be living in mess like that? Somebody had to tell you, you are too good to be getting drunk. You are too good to be roaming the streets at night. You are too good. Hallelujah. I had to get real today. Glory to God. Had to get real today. There were times in my life when I didn't want to look in the mirror. But I would think about what Big Mama used to say. Girl, God is grooming you for something you don't even know about. When I didn't want to look at myself. See, some of y'all all smiling and grinning. I talk about how many times I've been married. Ooh, at some point in time, I was like, God, can you use anybody like me? Had a mouth nastier than 12 cesspools. Didn't know how God would take cussing out and put scripture in. But somebody was praying for me. Didn't know how God would take me out of the street and put me in church. But somebody was praying for me. See, you might have your own fold, but that just tells me you ain't never been nowhere. But if you ever been close to the hole pen, how many of y'all been to the hole pen? I need to preach some hog pen religion. Hog pen is when you so nasty you don't want to look at your own image in the mirror. Hog pen is when you ain't got no money and you thinking about doing something against the law to get some money. Hog pen religion is when you got a wife and a girlfriend and thinking about getting a boyfriend. That's hog pen religion. Come on, church. Now you don't want to pray. Somebody pray for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hog pen religion is when you're stealing ink pens and paper off your job, bringing in the church, talking about we can save some money. That's hope in religion. Hallelujah. Had to teach in Sunday school. Hope in religion is when you don't steal, but you give your sizes to your friend who steals and say, bring me something back. That's hope in religion. Hope in religion is when you ain't slipping and tripping, but you making calls for your girlfriend or your boyfriend to get out of his house so y'all can go slipping and tripping. That's hope in religion. You trying to tell me y'all have hope in religion up here? How many know about hope in religion? Hope in religion is when you don't get high, but you get somebody else high so you can have your way with them. That's hope in religion. Hallelujah. Hope in religion is when you covering up your sins with the word of God, thinking don't nobody know what's going on. But let me tell you, baby, what's done in the dark is coming in the light. Hope in religion. When this young man dealt with his whole pin religion, he said, I need to go home. The father goes and he looks at the window. It's been 10 years. Lord, where's my child? But this time, he goes to the window and he looks out and he sees somebody there. Looks like his son. First dad is walking like this because it's been 10 years and he's trying to learn. And he keeps looking. And suddenly he says, that looks like him. I think that's him. Oh, that's my child! That's my child! And he runs to get his baby. How many of you know when we have sinned so bad we don't want to come to church, but God is looking out saying, come on baby, come on home, I'm waiting on you. That's the coming church. One more time, I'm waiting on you. And we drag in church so ashamed. They know what we've been doing. They done read the paper. They know the rumor. And we walk in with our heads down. But we don't realize God has been looking out the window. And he's trying to run to you. And he wants to get to you before the telegraph get to you. Before the rumor mill get to you. Because what you don't know is in your dark time, God's been praying for you. In your quiet times, God's been praying for you. When you didn't know which way you were going, you didn't know which way was up, which way was down, he's been praying for you. We are here today because somebody prayed for you. Somebody prayed for you. Somebody prayed for you. And when you realize you have been prayed for, you turn around and return the favor by praying for somebody else. We're still sitting. We're still sitting. In my mind's eye, I saw everybody thankful. So let me call. I'm going to do a sin call. Yeah. I need to do a sin call. Those of you who are guilty of talking about your sister and brother, somebody prayed for you. Those of you who are guilty of spreading untruth, either being lied on or telling a lie, somebody prayed for you. Those of you who are used to taking the crumbs off the table, saying having crumbs is better than nothing at all, somebody prayed for you. Those of you who are guilty of playing church and not being the church, somebody prayed for you. And those of you who would have still been in hell if Jesus had not gone and died on the cross, somebody prayed for you. St. John, open up your eyes and realize the only reason we are here today is because somebody prayed for us. Don't you see that, Father? Do you see that, Father? See, when we've been saved so long, we don't want to be reminded of where he brought us from. Hallelujah. How many of you got a past that's not lily white? Uh-huh. See, some of us are saved, we don't even want to raise our hand on that. Hallelujah. How many of you know that God had to save you from something, even if it was nothing but yourself? How many of you know that we had given him a right to walk away from us, but because he loves us so much, he didn't come to us when we got cleaned up, but he picked us up with stinking sin all over us, and he is the one that dipped us in his blood. He is the one that pulled us up and made us brand spanking new. How many of you know that today? How many of you know? So we today, when we read in Isaiah, he said, I am a man of unclean lips. And God made it possible for him to be clean. Child of God, let me tell you, when God cleans us up, it's not so that we can sit and be cute. It's not that we can fold our arms and look down at somebody who is doing the same thing God saved you from. It's not that we can think we're so much better than somebody else. But when you realize you have been prayed for, you need to turn around and pray for somebody. Is there anybody here today that has at least one person you need to put before the Lord? Is there anybody here today that has at least one sin God is still working with you on? Is there anybody here today that can look over your life and be glad that he didn't walk away from you at your roughest time, at your deepest time, at your darkest hour? In the book, when the Father says, this is my son who was once dead and is alive again. This is my son who was once lost and is now found. And the scripture says, and they began to be merry. You know what merry means? They began to make a joyful noise because they were thankful, because they were glad, because they thanked God. It's better now than it's ever been. What am I saying? St. John, we have so many reasons to be thankful. Let us not get in the mindset that we no longer need God. Let us not get in the mindset that we have made it now. Don't you know we haven't made anything yet? And if it had not been for God, we wouldn't be where we are today. Don't worry about how good you look today. It ain't about your clothes. It's going to be some good-looking people on their way to hell. You better keep your knees bent, and you better be before the Lord and continue to send up that timber. The prodigal son made it home because somebody prayed for him. How many of you today are here because somebody prayed for you? How many of you today can name the person or the people who prayed you through today? How many of you today are so glad that you can do just like Isaiah and say, Lord, if you need anybody, here am I, send me. How many of you can go forth? Just like Jesus died, he died for us. He got up for us. And the power that he gave to us. And if you never hear this again, know that you are victorious, not because of what you have done, but because somebody prayed you through every dark cloud, every midnight, every high hill. Somebody is praying and praying for you today, right here and right now. And if you will receive that, the doors of the church are open now. You may come by letter, Christian experience, candidate for baptism. Can we lift up the Lord and sing, "Somebody pray for me"? Come on, church. Jesus. Come on. Can we make some noise in here? Y'all scaring me today. Somebody pray. Lift it up. Come on. Ooh, Jesus. Somebody pray. I'm so glad. Y'all singing like you're tired, not your glass. Somebody pray, come on. Will there be one today? Come by letter, Christian experience, candidate for baptism. Jesus. Come on. One more time. Somebody pray. Hallelujah. Jesus. My Lord. Give the Lord a hand praise. You may be seated. Hallelujah. You may be seated in the Lord. Hallelujah. My Lord, my God. Amen. Jesus. Ooh, y'all made me work hard today.
I know, Pastor.
Hallelujah. At this point, we're in the hands of our deacons and trustees. Amen. Ooh, y'all scaring me. Praise the Lord. I want to put in an order for some Geritol.